History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want to waste any more time. This Karen Reed case is captured a lot of attention nationally, internationally, and certainly in Boston. In fact, my old station, NBC 10 Boston, did a daily show dedicated to the case called Canton Confidential. And let's not forget, in all this conversation and some of the salaciousness of it, that someone was killed and someone died that night. And whether we'll know exactly what happened or not someday, I'm not really sure. Michael Coyne is the dean of the Massachusetts School of Law, and we're lucky, you know, he's, you know, a superstar in Boston media now, and doesn't, you know, condescend to talk to many people, but he will condescend to talk to the Connecticut audience, so we appreciate that,
Michael. Yeah, no, I'm always happy to talk to all my friends in Connecticut. My son went to school at UConn, and I've had a lot of good times down there, and especially I value our friendship, Ryan.
Well, thanks, so, Michael. What are you going to do with your time now? I mean, what?
Yeah, I'm going to the beach. That's where I'm going. I'm ready. You know,
it's been a heck of a run. Just for people who are listening who might not know, I mean, I know it's impossible to summarize, but I don't want to spend a ton of time.
Sure.
On it. Just give me 30 to 45 seconds on the story and the case.
Sure. After a night of drinking, Karen Reed and her boyfriend John O'Keefe went to looking for an after party, and somewhere in after that night of drinking, at the as she dropped him off at the after party, John O'Keefe died. Commonwealth says that said that she had hit him with her vehicle and left him to die in a blizzard, and ultimately his body wasn't discovered till the next morning. He was ultimately pronounced dead at the hospital. She was charged with second-degree murder, manslaughter, and leaving the scene having caused serious bodily injury. And it took two trials to ultimately get a final verdict, and the final verdict was none of the major charges she was convicted of, but she was ultimately then convicted of driving under the influence.
As was told to me multiple times in chatting with people, it's the most expensive OUI case in the history of the state of Massachusetts. And I guess, you know, I don't know to what degree now. Can you just drop all of the caveats and tell me what you think of the verdict?
Well, I think at the end of the day, the system worked correctly because you had terrific defense advocates here. Two, David Jannetty and Alan Jackson, two of the best defense attorneys in the country. And what was interesting about it, you also had one of the best defense attorneys, certainly in the Commonwealth of Mass and maybe in the country as well. And Hank Brennan, who previously had represented and defended Whitey Bulger, was the prosecutor this time. So what you had is a very high level advocacy. And you had a terrific judge. I think a lot of people criticized her, but at the end of the day, you got to be fair with respect to your rulings.
What were the criticisms?
Well, the criticisms, depending on the ruling of the day, is she either favored the prosecution or she favored the defense. You know, in any trial, especially one that takes two full months to try, as well as a previous trial that took two full months with the same judge, you're going to have a lot of rulings on the admissibility of evidence that people disagree with. And so it's easy to criticize and say, oh, she favors one side or another. But the fact is that she was a very patient judge. She was respectful of the parties and tried to be respectful of both the prosecution and the defense's ability to have a fair trial. It's not, right. It's an incredibly difficult job when the eyes of so many people are watching and inspecting everything. And what we expect from the judges and the lawyers is to do their jobs, to play their roles effectively. And I think at the end of the day that that's what happened. It became a case of reasonable doubt.
Correct.
The defense was able to poke holes. And remember, the prosecution had a difficult case because of the really horrible, unprofessional job that law enforcement did in investigating the case and in collection and preservation of the evidence.
Right.
Here,
you know, we're talking with Michael Coyne, dean of the Massachusetts School of Law, and I mean, the threshold is, You know, it has to be beyond reasonable doubt. I mean, that's what the threshold is. I don't know if I can ask you. I don't know if you'll answer, but I hope you do. What do you think happened?
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's likely that there was an accident of some sort outside of 34 Fairview. You know, we're taught from
middle school. Do you think she hit him?
I do think that there was an injury inflicted upon him, likely with a being clipped by the vehicle or brushed by the vehicle. We're taught from early on, right? Drinking, driving, deadly consequences. And that's really what happened. That's what I think is likely to happen. That happened here is the simplest explanation is, you know, someone dies as a result of a motor vehicle and drinking every 45 minutes in this country. And that's the tragedy as well as the loss of John O'Keefe here. Yep. And so I think it's more likely that that's what happened as opposed to some of the others. But the Commonwealth never proved it, never proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the car actually collided with him. We had dueling experts and the jury was unable to really make that link that the Commonwealth made. And the Commonwealth was unable to get past the really unprofessionalism of our state police in this case.
And I have so many questions. I have three big questions in 3 minutes. But I will say, do you think that was because cops don't want to investigate cops, or they want to cover up for people? Because that's a whole other angle.
No, I think. See, remember, this was a Boston police officer who died as a result of it. So, if anything, you would have seen 150% effort to try and, quote, catch a cop killer. So that's the really intriguing thing. I'm not sure we'll ever have an answer to why this was so badly done and why we weren't more professional. I mean, part of it could be just the sloppiness of it's a night with a blizzard. No one wants to be outside.
Right. Okay. So will we ever, you think, know the truth?
You might. There'll be things that were inadmissible that will come out. There's other information there. There's going to be another trial with respect to Turtle Boy's involvement, one of the bloggers who assisted the defense in really garnering public support for her position. There'll be more to come. The question is, we may never know what the true story is.
Right. And her next move is to make millions here, whether it's Netflix or books or whatever?
Well, and it's probably not that far off because she's already done a number of media interviews with various companies. She's not going to make millions at the end of the day because there's a huge civil suit that's still to be resolved. It's already been filed. And remember, the civil standard of proof is significantly lower than the criminal standard. All they're going to have to show is more likely than not she caused John's death, and then she's going to be on the hook for millions of dollars. So there's a lot more litigation to come from this.
We're going to make it, Michael. Michael Coyne, Dean of the Massachusetts School of Law, because I get my last question. And you've been, you know, following this stuff, and there's real tragedy here, so I'm not making light of any of it. But in terms of, like, the profile of the court cases, garnering public attention to a certain degree, where does this rank with, like, Marathon Bomber, Aaron Hernandez, yep, Whitey Bulger? Like, if you're going to rank the top four, what's the order?
This has to be right up there, surprisingly enough, because even though those were all significantly high profile, even OJ, right, that for whatever reason, social media, the traditional media, everyone has jumped on this. I was getting calls from California. We're getting calls from overseas. This one has garnered worldwide attention, and I think it's because of the extensive publicity, but it's also because this, unlike a lot of the federal cases, this case is televised so the public can see how our justice system works. All cases should be on and available for the people to see how our justice system is working.
Michael, go enjoy the beach.
I intend to. See you, Brian.
See you, buddy. Michael Coyne, the great Michael Coyne, Dean of the Massachusetts School of Law.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.